Thank you for visiting our message library. We appreciate you taking the time to hear God's word, and we pray that you are encouraged, comforted, convicted, challenged, and changed by what you hear. Don't forget that you can download and share each message through email and social media at any time. God bless you, and we pray that you will be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Colossians 1:9.
Sick, slow down. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, this morning. We've had a high service, you know, and it's been awesome, but sadly, it's probably going to be brought a little bit low with this topic. And you'll see why I say that in a minute. But I've been dropping some challenges in our laps. Remember, we've talked about chewing on the Word of God. Not just reading His Word, but chewing it, devouring it, eating His Word so God can speak to us, okay? I've challenged you to start praying from the secret place of the heart where we cry out to God and we don't just do mere repetition and just mere going through the motions. And that's what those messages were about. When you read the Word of God and pray, don't just go through the motions. Don't just check it off the list. We're so guilty of that. No, chew on God's Word. Think about what it, let Him speak to you, you know, devour it and pray out of your heart. God wants to hear straight from you. And the whole point of this is Psalms 85:6. Will you not revive us again, O Lord, so that your people may rejoice in you? Now, we experienced some corporate revival right there today. Amen. Yeah. Guess where that stems from? Personal revival taking place. Megan taught a long time ago, revival's not, you know, it's about you and then it becomes we, okay? And that's what that's all about, and we saw a taste of that this morning. So I want to throw another challenge to you this morning, and again, I'll be mindful of the time, but this is the hardest challenge yet, all right? It's the hardest challenge yet, and this challenge today, gang, oh boy, it's not my favorite, to be quite honest with you this morning. It's a tough one, and I've struggled with this message pretty much since the beginning of the year, just to let you know. I felt like I needed to speak it, and we needed to practice this challenge, yet timing never was right, and I would put it off and pray, and change direction, change course. You know, it just never seemed to be the right time, but I felt and decided that this would be the week. But in all transparency, I've struggled with it all week long. Me and Megan went out to eat Friday night, and I was just open with her and said, man, I just don't know about this message. I'm struggling with it. I'm wrestling with it. I just don't know whether to speak it, whether it's right, whether, you know, and so it's just, but I know, and I got the piece last night, I know it's a message for today, and I know it's for our church right now, okay? So let's read Matthew chapter 6, two verses, verses 16 and through 18. This is the words of Jesus. And when you fast, oh boy. And when you fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they receive their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but your Father who is in secret and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So Jesus said, and when you fast. It's good to have Jim and Tina with us back. Yay, from Florida. We've missed them so much. When you fast. When you fast. Some of you have never taken Christ's words to heart. When you fast. Some of you might not even have an inkling or an idea in regards to what biblical fasting is all about. Listen, we've talked about taking steps towards God. We did a huge one this morning. We've been doing that incrementally, and I've been seeing that in our church. We've talked about taking steps towards God, and we've been talking about personal revival and returning to our first love and getting lost in the presence of the Lord. And this topic of fasting can be a huge ingredient into all of this, because when you fast, you're doing all of the above. You're returning to your first love. You are getting lost in the presence of the Lord. You're taking a step towards God. Personal revival. And sometimes, you know, I've been talking about personal revival, and, you know, sometimes I wonder, are we getting it? Are we hearing it? Are we getting it? And I after this morning, I think we are. Gang, I, as a lead pastor, I'm so sick of normal. I'm so sick of routine. I'm so tired and done with just going through the motions, right? Of just having a nice little corporate church in Erlanger, Kentucky. Anybody with me? Huh? Our problem is this. We are not hungry enough for the Lord. That's the truth of the matter. We're not hungry enough for the Lord. Look, I want to be hungry for God. I want to be hungry because it said, if we hunger, we will be filled, right? And so our prayer should be, and my prayer is, Lord, create a hunger in me. Lord, create a hunger in us. Let personal revival start right here. Draw that circle around, step in it, and say, Lord, create a hunger for you in me because I want to be filled. We're not hungry enough. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be satisfied. Man, I want to be satisfied, right? Then I need to hunger for the Lord, praise the Lord. It's funny, I said we're not hungry enough. Now I'm about to call a corporate fast. You guys get that? All right. Lord, we want hunger. We want hunger for you, but we're going to fast. That's okay. And at the end of the message, I want to talk about a corporate fast for our church, okay? But it's going to be cool. You'll like it, okay? We used to hold, yes, our 10th year here at the Open Door, Megan and I and my family. And we used to, remember, if you were here, we used to hold corporate fast every year, kind of at the beginning. But we haven't done one in a long time. And there's a reason for that. I just felt like it had become, you know, church corporate fast, this trendy thing for churches to do. And it seemed like every believer was getting on Facebook and proclaiming, hey, we're in our 21-day fast for our church. You're not going to see me posting on Facebook anymore, you know, and we're entering our fast. And listen, I never want us to do anything for the wrong reasons or motivations. I don't ever want us to do a religious thing just because it's currently trending. And again, I've struggled with calling this corporate fast, but guys, we need God. We need God so desperately right now. And Easter's coming up right around the corner, and I want God to move in hearts. I want God to move in lives. I'm expecting this Easter to rock, and I'm expecting all of us to be changed throughout this year through the power of God. Amen? Because, again, I'm tired of not having the baptistry out here and baptizing somebody every single week, right? I'm tired of us shuffling in and shuffling out on Sunday mornings, you know, just like church and worship is just one of the many cogs in our busy lives, in the busy machine of our lives, and that's just one of the cogs that keeps us going. No, there's so much more from the Lord. His presence is so rich, and His presence is so real, and His Spirit is moving, and the river of His presence is flowing, and I want us all just to jump in and not even be able to touch the bottom and be able and just float down the river of His presence. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Now, I'm praying that God lights a fire up in all of us for Him, right? Do you want to get closer to the Lord? How you answer that reveals a lot. It really does. And so I'll ask it again. Do you want to get closer to the Lord? If so, then take a step towards God, experience personal revival, and then we'll be ready to step towards people. So let's talk about fasting real quick, okay? If we can do that. And I want to talk about this because, unfortunately, many people don't understand about biblical fasting. And so as a result, they shy away from the subject. And they end up missing out on so many blessings and so many breakthroughs from the Lord, okay? And it's a difficult subject. And there's not a lot of, woohoo, excitement. Yeah, talking about fasting, yeah! That's one service I know I won't miss when he talks about fasting. I mean, put it this way. When I said we were talking about fasting, no one gave anybody a high five, okay? Everybody watching online has turned their computer off, I'm sure. Many of you want to leave right now. But thank you for staying. but hopefully after today, you'll leave with a greater understanding, and this will become a regular part of your spiritual walk and journey. Did you get that? Say what, Greg? A regular part. Tell somebody, say, it'll become a regular part Okay? A regular part of your spiritual journey. A lot of believers never fast. They've never fasted ever in their spiritual journey. And a majority of believers, the only time they ever fast is when a pastor will call, or maybe their Bible study or their, you know, prayer group will, or their small group or something will call for a fast, or a few friends, you know. And then they will fast, but it's not really a regular part of their lives. Listen, this should be a regular part of your walk with the Lord. Not that it has to be done every day or every week. I mean, it can be, but it doesn't have to be. But it's a regular part of your life, so that in those times when you're really needing God, you need His direction, you need His help, or you just want to get close to the Lord, you fast. You fast, okay? And again, I would hope that after this message, this spiritual discipline becomes part of your journey, and you'll practice it when you need to hear from God, or when you need Him to move in your life, or when you're in a state of maybe tragedy or sorrow or anything like that. So what is it? What is fasting in the biblical sense, okay? When you study the Bible, you see many instances of fasting from the front all the way to the New Testament. And in its simplest meaning, gang, fasting means being so consumed with a matter that it becomes more important than food. So what you decide to do is skip food in order to seek God about the specific matter or reason why you're fasting, okay? And it's more than just skipping food or refraining from eating food, okay? The reason why you skip or refrain is in order to concentrate upon God and to seek Him and His answers and His will. So that's the simplest term of fasting. It's when something matters to you so much, okay, that you push the plate away, you skip on some food, okay, because this issue is more important than that, and most importantly of all, you want to do that so that you can concentrate on God and have Him move in your life, okay? You guys, y'all get that? Now, the gospel, all the different gospels present Jesus in a different light. The gospel of Matthew that we read from presents Jesus as king. And the first few chapters set up Jesus as being the king. Well, then it transitions and shifts from not just setting Him up as king, but how believers should be living their lives in the kingdom because of the inward change that's gone on because they have found the king. Does that make sense? We found the king. We're serving Him. There's an inward change in our lives. And so Matthew's 5, 6, and 7 talk about how believers should be living because of that inward change as part of the broader kingdom, okay? So chapters 6 and 7 describe the outward actions of the change on the inside. And in chapters 5 and 6, there's three things that need to be in every believer's life as spoken by Jesus. So listen to these. I'm not going to read the whole scriptures, but Matthew 6, 2 through 8, verse 2, Jesus says, so when you give, everyone say give, to the poor. Verse 3 says, when you give to the poor. Verse 5 says, when you pray, okay, so when you pray. He says it again in verse 7, when you pray. And then in verse 17, we read, but when you fast, and He echoes that again, when you fast. So right away, because of the change in our lives, there should be three elements that should be a regular part of a believer's life. When you give, when you pray, when you fast. Man, that's good. Preaching right there, Greg. Woo! When you give, when you pray, when you fast. When you give, when you pray, when you fast. Are these in your life as a believer living in the kingdom of the King? Because He's changed you on the inside. Man, I feel real good today. So you guys better just come right along with me, all right? If anything, just clap so I'll know you. You know, just kidding. I don't need claps. Pray, give, fast. Are they in your life? Now, 2 weeks ago, I talked about praying. Talking about praying out of the secret place of your heart. After Easter, guess what I'm going to talk about? Giving. Today, I'm talking about fasting, okay? These three elements in our lives. You know, we do a lot of talking and teaching and preaching about number one and number two, the giving and praying. A lot of churches have gone way overboard in the giving, okay? So much so that people are like, that's all the church wants to talk about is giving, you know? They just want my money so the pastor can drive a Rolls Royce. Well, if you've seen my car, you know it's not a Rolls Royce, all right? So, but we never talk about fasting hardly. many times we want to skip over one. We want to skip over fasting. Why? Why do we not want to talk about fasting? Because it's hard. Yeah. I'm real. Yeah. Fasting is hard. Oh, Greg, you're a pastor. You've been following the Lord for a long time. Fasting's got to come easy to you. No. Because I love food in my belly, all right? Yeah. It's like that guy in that one movie. He's like, get in my belly. You know, I see food. It's hard, gang. Sometimes it can be even more of a sacrifice than praying and giving. There's misconceptions about it. It's misunderstood. People don't want to know about it. Quite frankly, some may not even want to do it. But here's why we should fast. You know why? Because Jesus said, when you fast. He could have said, you know, if you feel like fasting, or if the thought ever occurs to, you know, or crosses your mind, you know, he said, when you fast, and, you know, when you fast. And we should fast because Jesus did it. And that should settle it, boom, right there, right? We see Jesus fasting for 40 days in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke 4. And isn't he our example in everything? Aren't we wanting to be like Jesus Christ? Luke 6:40 says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who's perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Just think, the Son of God, the Messiah, walking on the earth, the God-man, fasted. He's God. Why would he need to fast? But he did. He did, yes? I mean, Jesus could have accomplished all that he left heaven to accomplish without fasting. And if so, then why did he do? Why did Jesus fast? He did it because he knew the value and the significance that it adds to a believer's life. He fasted because he knew how important it was to set aside food in order to seek the Father at another level. He knew what it meant to deny himself fleshly comfort that food brings and really get alone with God to seek him and to hear from him. How many is... that's fleshly comfort to you, food is. Would you raise your hand? Yes. Just ask me about 10 o'clock when I got that big bowl of cereal. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Yes. Comfort, okay? But he knew that it was more important to spend time with God, to hear from the Lord. Jesus knew that there were supernatural things that could only be released through fasting. And he also understood that there's a spiritual power that can come from fasting. We see that in Matthew 17, verse 20 and 21. Where he says, well, the disciples were trying to cast out a demon and they couldn't do it. And he says, that kind only comes out by prayer and worship songs. Prayer and reading 5 chapters a day. It only comes out by prayer and, say it with me, fasting. Yes, right? The only recorded instance of Jesus fasting, like I said, is Matthew 4 and Luke 4. But I'll say, it most likely was a part of his life because he practiced it. He spoke about it. He even taught on fasting. Jesus placed an importance on fasting. So why should we fast? Because Jesus did, and I want to be like him, okay? Another reason is because, you know, there's something going on in our lives and we need an answer. We need direction. Or if I can use the term, we need a breakthrough, okay? Or we need deliverance from something. Listen, fasting helps bring that need or situation much more into focus as we yield to the Lord and we wait on him and as we seek God's direction. See, this is what fasting says. God, this is going on in my life and I'm needing this so much. I need your help with this so much. I need an answer. I need a direction from you. And it's so important that I'm willing to do without this in order to focus and yield it all to you. You guys get that? That's what fasting says. God, I need to hear you so much. God, I need you to move in my life so much. God, I need an answer. God, I need a miracle. God, there's something going on and I need direction. God, I need you to move in such a way and it's so important to me. It's so pressing to me that I'm willing to do without this so that I can concentrate on you and I can listen and hear you and look to you. I mean, this really speaks to what was mentioned at the beginning. The simplest, you know, meaning of fasting is being so consumed with a matter that it becomes more important than food. So what you decide to do is skip the food in order to really concentrate on God. And that's the reason why you're fasting. So you can really yield to him and look to him and concentrate on him and listen to him. You ever been there? Have you ever prayed that prayer before? Something like, have you ever said that before? God, this is an emergency. And it's so important, God, that I'm not going to eat my fried chicken, which is so good. I'm going to do without food, Lord, all day long so that this can be on my heart all day and I can spend time and I can listen for you and I'm appealing to you, God, and I'm yielding to you, Lord. This is an important matter to me, God, so much so that it's more important than food. I need you to move in my life, God. I need an answer. I need direction. I need healing. I need a miracle. I need salvation. I need deliverance. I need restitution. I need restitution for family. There's something going on at work, Lord. There's something in my personal life. There's a sin, a habit. I need breakthrough. I need deliverance, God. And it's so important that I touch you and grab you and get a hold of you that I'm willing to do without this kind of stuff so I can concentrate on you and focus on you and hear you and listen for you and allow you to move in my life. Because see, fasting really puts what you're seeking God for at the focus and the forefront. You know, we pray for things in our lives all the time, our needs and our supplications and our requests to the Lord, which is great. And we expect to hear from God and to see Him move in our lives, okay? But fasting is a focused, dedicated attention to whatever it is you're seeking God for, okay? It shows God how serious a matter is to you in your life. We don't have to fast for every need. You guys understand what I'm saying, right? Oh, I got a need. I better fast. All this is going on. I better fast. You know, we're humans. We're humans, part of humanity. We'll have needs. We are needy people. But there are times when you need an emergency, a miracle, a clear answer from the Lord. Deliverance, something big. You know, you need God to move in an extraordinary way. And so you say, I'm going to do without so I can concentrate. I can focus. I can present this before the Lord, okay? The recorded instance of Jesus fasting was because when he went off to the wilderness and fasted for 40 days, it was because he was preparing for his earthly ministry. He's like, I know what I got to do. So I'm going to spend 40 days without food so I can be alone with the Father. And he desired the Father's blessing and provision and help and power more than his food. So he spent 40 days without eating so that the Father could prepare him as he started out in his earthly ministry. He needed God in that instance. And it was so important to him that he did without food for 40 days. In the Old Testament, we often see fasting coming from a place of sorrow and tragedy or a hard experience. And fasting was a way to bring about renewal and strength. You guys will see, and I know you all agree with this, it's true. Many times in life, we need strength from God. How many know that, right? And fasting is to show our weakness. And then to show that, we depend upon the Lord for strength and provision. I found a nice summation of why to fast on a website by current international minister Jensen Franklin. It says, why should I fast? Are you in need of a healing or miracle? Do you need the tender touch of God in your life? Is there a dream inside of you that only He can make possible? Are you in need of a fresh encounter? Do you desire a deeper, more intimate, and powerful relationship with the Lord? Are you ready to have heightened sensitivity to the desires of God? Do you need to break away from bondages that have been holding you hostage? Is there a friend or a loved one that needs salvation? Do you desire to know God's will for your life? So many things, gang. There's a spiritual power that can come from fasting. Power to be an overcomer. Power for spiritual warfare, like we talked about where Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 17, 21 and Mark 9, 29, actually. Sometimes you might need to fast in order to help get something out of your life. Like I mentioned, a sin, a bad habit, an idol in your life, something that's coming in between you and God. How many of you guys love the international housefly? I was going to say all American, but they're all over the world. How many just love the housefly? Anybody? Your friend? Okay. No, they're pests, aren't they? You know what I'm saying? What happens if you just like swat at it with your hand? Huh? Yeah, it's, you want it coming back? Anybody ever hit one with their hand? Yeah? You guys are fast. I'm just kidding. What happens? It falls to the ground usually, but then it's right back up. You know? That sounds exactly like a house fly. Did you guys hear that? Catch that? When you use the fly swatter and you, what happens?
Gone.
Right? To the trash, to the dumpster, to something. And sometimes, guys, with our sins and habits, we, you know, I'll just swat at it. If it really becomes between you and God, maybe you need a fast. And that fasting can be like the fly swatter. You know what I'm saying? Power to overcome. We should also fast just for the fact that we need to get closer to God. You know what I mean? Just to get closer to God. Imagine how God the Father sees that from our hearts. They want to get so close. They want to get closer to me so much that they're willing to push away the plate to do without whatever it is they're fasting from their lives and just focus on me. Oh, how that has to please the Father. Amen? Because a lot of times we equate fasting with needs and fasting for provision and getting help from the Lord's own. What if we would just fast just to say, God, today I just want to get close to you. That's taking a step towards God, okay? Like I said, sometimes we see fasting from the heart of repentance. We see this in the Old Testament. The Israelites messed up. They transgressed, fallen into idolatry, forsaken the Lord. And so they would weep and mourn and fast and as a show, a sign of repentance. And typically, as I mentioned, we fast to get. But I want us to really talk about getting close to God. Experience deeper moments of his presence. And even when you fast for a need, or something like that going on in your life, man, it's going to bring you closer to God. It's going to draw you in, right? And again, I think that's why we see Jesus fast in his earthly ministry, spent that time with the Father for preparation. And fasting is seeking God and his kingdom and his will first. Matthew 6:33. Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. And so when you fast, you're saying, Lord, this is so important. I'm putting you first. I'm putting you first, okay? So as I start to bring this down, this topic and closing team, be ready. Don't come up yet, but be ready. So you see, there is precedence, and I would even go so far as to say there is a scriptural mandate to fast. And there's all kinds of scriptural references and examples, too many to talk about. And now let's get to the nitty-gritty for a moment, okay? Because the reasons are very clear, but how often should we fast? And what should we fast, okay? There's no real timetable. There's no real schedule. Fasting should be done when you feel the urge and the prompting to. It should be done when you're experiencing the elements that we gave and the reasons to fast, you know? Fasting's not a commandment that we've got to follow, like, legalistically, you know? Thou shalt fast and thou shalt like it, you know? I mean, God could have wrote that, right? You're going to fast, and you're going to like it, kid, you know? Anybody ever do that with their kids? You know, you're going to eat that vegetable, and you're going to like it, every bite. I mean, God could have said, you're going to fast, and you're going to like it too. But he didn't, all right? Praise the Lord. I mean, that would be the wrong heart to begin with. So when, how often? Jesus just said, when you fast, okay? It's just expected in the life of the believer. And fasting is really between you and the Lord, okay? But if fasting is not a regular part of your spiritual journey with the Lord, or you just can't remember the last time that you did fast, think about it. Check yourself, okay? Now there's people out there, there's websites dedicated, and they'll give you a dedicated list of what a fast has to be and what it cannot be, and you can only do this and do that, and a fast has to be like this. Bah, da, da. You're not going to hear that from me. And that kind of stuff makes me laugh. It actually annoys me when I see that, okay? When people give all these details, like absolutes, like they're the expert on fasting, especially the Daniel fast, okay? But all we see biblically is there's three types of fast made reference in the Bible. Absolute fast, which means a total fast, everything. A normal fast, no food, just water, maybe juice, maybe broth. That's the most common in Scripture. And there's a partial fast. And this one's interpreted many ways and has one fasting specific food or foods or food groups or fasting a specific thing, okay? In the Bible, we see people, you know, references of people fasting meat and favorite drink, lotions and oils for refreshments, even a reference to fasting from sexual intimacy, okay? And in the time frame, there's fasts that in the Bible were 3, 7, 21, 40-day fast, half-day fast, 24-hour fast, fast from sunrise to sundown. Some fast just lasted through the night. That's the one I want to do. When I fall asleep, wake up. Lord, I'm going to fast. I'm laying in bed. God, I'm fasting for you, Lord. And then you wake up, you're like, where's the pancakes? The fast is over. Break the fast, right? Breakfast? Never mind. That doesn't work, okay? The important thing is, praise team, closing team, please come up on that high note. The important thing is not to get bogged down in the details, okay? And don't let the details keep you from fasting. Look, a lot of times people are like, I'm not going to fast because I'm afraid I'll fail. Big deal. Praise God. You at least attempted a step towards God. That'll honor the Lord. He's not going to be like, oh, you pathetic child. You started a fast, and then you broke it, and you weren't faithful to me. So here's 10 judgments on you. No. Fasting's not a legalistic thing. Because it's about the heart. It's about the heart. Where's Ben Talley? Is he in here right now? Dude, I love it. We back in the day, about 9 or 8 years ago, during some of these corporate fasts, I remember him talking about he would start a fast, and he works at Fidelity, and that's the day somebody bring this big chocolate cake in. And he'd just be like, Lord, I'm just going to have to forget about it. I'm just going to eat that cake. You know what I'm saying? That happens. I still remember that bit. It's hilarious. He's like, every time I do it, there's something that they bring in, and it just, and sometimes that happens, guys. You can adjust, and it's all good. It's not this legalistic thing, and know that if you can't keep it to the word of the letter, then God's going to be so displeased. And everything you fasted for, well, no answer. That brings it to nothing. Zilch, zero. Thanks for playing, but try again another day. No, no. God sees the heart. Amen? Amen. And fasting is for you and it's for God. It's between you and God. And gang, it's not easy. It's not supposed to be. Fasting is not supposed to be easy. Why? Because it goes against our flesh. And there's a war, a spiritual war between our flesh and our spirit, as mentioned in Galatians 5:17. And fasting kind of ramps this spiritual warfare up, okay? But whatever you do fast, it should be a sacrifice. A sacrifice. You know, I've seen, you know, people fasting media, social media, Facebook, television, or, you know, I'm going to fast some type of an enjoyment. And these fasts can be good, okay? I'm not negating that, okay? But when you get down to the real nitty-gritty, nothing speaks flesh versus spirit more than food does, right? Because we're addicted to food. Yes? It's been said that we're living in a society that ranks eating food as its number one passion. Passion. It's been said that Americans have a love affair with food, okay? And this is evident by our growing waistlines and our food-borne caused diseases. You know, food-caused diseases, right? We love food. It's no wonder why we love it. The temptation to eat is everywhere. And the convenience to eat is everywhere. We're just talking about that with the men on Wednesday night. I can go down to any store and buy almost any type of food that I want in an instant. I can get online and order any type of food that I want, and it'll be there. HelloFresh. Marketplace or whatever those places are, right? The nearest billboard, magazine, TV commercial, it's calling us like the siren of Greek mythology. Oh, I'm coming, you know? I mean, you drive down the road and you get a whiff of, you know, Burger King, that grill and the smoke is coming out. How many love that smell? Woo! Dude, I would buy Burger King and that flume is rolling and I'm like, oh. No, wow, it's so good. I mean, for less than a buck, we can get food. I mean, at fast food or dollar menus and stuff, okay? Eating has become as much part of our lives as sleeping, driving, sleeping, eating. They're all part of our lives now, right? We were consumed by food, okay? That's why America, we hate the topic of fasting. We want nothing to do with fasting, okay? I can see the pain on your face right now, all right? But there's just something Jesus said. You know, we should hunger after more than food, and that's righteousness. That's how we'll be filled, by hungering after righteousness, okay? And even though fasting, things like social media and TV, your enjoyment or hobby is good and it's beneficial, okay? I think fasting food aspects blows all the other ones out of the water and really hits home with our flesh, okay? And then when you fast food, man, you're gonna be cranky, you're gonna be tired, be in a bad mood. When I fast food, I get so tired. I lose all my focus, it seems like. And you gotta remember, we're in a spiritual battle. So be prepared. Don't let others know you're fasting. Have a good attitude, okay? That's kind of what Jesus is saying in our text. I'm trying to hurry quick. In his instructions on our fasting, you know, he's saying, you know, shower, put on oils, put on a smile. Don't act grumpy. Look, you can't walk around and be like biting people's head off and say, well, I'm fasting, leave me alone. I mean, that doesn't work, okay? He's like saying, hey, do it in secret. Do it in secret, okay? The Father sees in secret. We talked about, you know, he said, give in secret, pray in secret. He'll reward you openly, all right? Because if you do it to get mankind's attention, you've done it wrong. Remember, in we talked about in the prayer, the hypocrites, the religious leaders, they'd go to, when they were going to give, they would send a trumpeter ahead of them to the corner, letting everybody know you're coming to give. Then they would stand in the corner and make it rain to all the poor. And people would look at him and going, man, look how religious and pious and he is. They received their reward right there, Jesus said, mankind's attention. And he said when they pray, they would wail, oh, Lord. And they'd put on rags and put ashes all over their face to make them look all dirty. And people would say, look how religious they are. Look how spiritual they are. They received their reward. Jesus said, no. Don't let people know. Do it in secret in the private place. And God will reward you. It's okay to let your spouse know, that's good. And when you're doing it in a church environment, in the house, the church, yeah, we all know we're fasting. But don't blare it on social media, our church is fasting. Keep it in the house. Keep it in the house, right? I get irked when I see that. And I get it, but that's okay. All three of those things are to be done in secret, giving, praying, and fasting. And God will reward that. And please don't forget to pray. We're going to pray here in a minute. Because fasting involves prayer. When you fast, spend time in prayer. Jesus linked the two together in Matthew 17, 21. He said prayer and fasting. You can pray without fasting. You can actually fast without praying. But when they're both combined, watch out. Watch out. And you know what's cool? I actually believe that fasting is a prayer being offered up from our hearts about the issue that we're fasting about. Because I've fasted and it's on your mind all the time. And I think it's like an incense up to the Lord, you know, because you're just concentrated on it. And you're not concentrated on the food, so you're thinking about what it is and you're talking to the Lord about it. And I even think the action of fasting is kind of like a prayer. I think God sees and hears our fasting as a prayer itself, okay, along with our regular prayers. And I love that. I love that because I tend to be a little bit legalistic and I feel like if I don't pray enough when I fast, then it's no good. Nah, God sees the heart. And I think that even action of the fast is a prayer in of itself, saying, Lord, I'm putting it aside, bringing this to you. So before we pray and close, what about us? I think it's time we do a corporate fast, gang, here at the OD. I want God to move in our services and in our lives so much that I think we should fast and seek Him. Easter's coming up. We should seek the Lord about, you know, fast for our Easter services and our outreach and stuff like that. So I'm going to call a total fast for 3 weeks. Who's with me? Thank you, two of you. Okay. No, just kidding. Total fast. Woo! No, I've prayed a lot about this, guys. And like I said, I don't like fasting at all. But I want us to do a fast from this Wednesday coming, starting Wednesday, to next Wednesday. 7 days. 7 days, okay? I'm not going to tell you what to fast, but let's make it for this one, though. As a lead pastor, I'm asking, let's do a food, something food fast, okay? Now, I know we make a lot of excuses. Oh, my goodness. We make a lot of excuses. Oh, you got to be careful when you're fasting food. You got to be here. You're diabetic. The majority of you aren't diabetic. If you are diabetic, you can adjust. You can still fast. Don't let that be an excuse. But the majority of us are doing pretty good. We, no offense, but we could all do with doing a little less food. Okay, thank you. All right, never mind. You can punch me later, and that's okay. I get to punch back. Do this. And I'm going to send out emails and texts to kind of highlight this. Pick a food item or something. Go without that for a whole week. Sacrifice. See what the Lord would... You know, you want details? Ask God. See what the Lord's leading you to, okay? For a week. And on the Friday, if any of you will join me in doing a sun up to sun down regular fast on the Friday, which would just be water or juice. You don't have to, but that's, we're going to call a sun up to sun down regular fast on Friday if you want to participate. But you may want to fast some aspects differently throughout that 7 days. I just want us to be fasting somehow. Maybe it might be a meal every other day for you. Maybe it's a food group. I would love it if we could all pick some item and say, I'm not going to do without that for the whole week, okay? And here's what I want you to pray for. I want you to pray for your church. That's it. For this fast, pray for your church. Growth, spiritual growth, numerical growth, financial growth, relational growth, missional growth, for salvations, for Easter. Fast and pray that every seat is occupied every Sunday of the year for our outreach methods and stepping towards others, that we truly become a beacon of light in this country. All kinds of stuff. Pray for this church. Amen. Let's do it. Praise the Lord. I'm shutting. Woo, sorry, we went a little long, but let's sing a chorus and then we'll be dismissed. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Again, thank you for listening. Please email or contact the church if you have any questions about this message. If you need prayer or any other question that you might have, our contact information can be found on our website, odky.org. Thank you, and God bless you.